Well, good morning, Fields Church. Hello, hello, Charleston, and everyone that is watching this today. I just want to say that we're excited that you are here. We're excited that at Fields Church, we can just celebrate Jesus in a very real and authentic way. And it doesn't matter what room we're in today. We can be, we are one church in multiple locations. And so whether you're in Charleston, whether you're in Mattoon, whether you're watching this from home, we can celebrate and learn and grow closer to God. And so we are so excited just to be here today. And you guys in Charleston, we're continuing to hear so many good things. Just next week, the place is going to be packed. Easter, 7 days away. We're so excited about that. In fact, let's talk about that for just a moment. Hopefully that you're just passing these out like crazy to invites. You know, you have 7 days to create conversations. 7 days to promote the Easter. Listen to me for a moment. Easter is the time of the year that people will say yes to your invitation. And so we want to make sure that we are inviting this week, 7 days away. So you need to look at the relationships you have, the people you have in the workplace, the people you have, family members that are a part of church. And what we are actually doing for you today is helping you in your social media relationship circles. And so actually what we've done is posted something online today on Facebook. And what you can do right now is actually just get your phones out and you can go to Facebook. You can go to the Fields Church's feed. You can find that. And how awesome will it be that everyone right now begins to say something a little personal on that and share that to your group of friends. When that happens in all of our locations today, it is going to be, you know, talk about exponential invitation. Like, we are inviting and promoting, and let it be known that you do not want to miss Easter at the Fields in Charleston, in Mattoon. You do not want to miss that. And so go ahead, even as I continue to talk today, if it's taking you for a moment to get onto Facebook and to post that, go ahead, and it's worth the time. It's worth you missing my first couple minutes. I want you to post that out there. Share that, because your friends want to know where you're going for Easter, and they want to know that you want to invite them with you. So let them know when you're coming, and let them know what service they can come to. In Mattoon, it's Saturdays and Sunday. Charleston, 10 o'clock Sunday, pack the auditorium. It's going to be awesome. So go ahead and share that on Facebook right now. Keep your phones out after you do that, because you can go to the Fields Guide, and you can follow along in the notes. And so you can just keep your phones out today. You know, every Sunday you can have your phones out. You can open up the guide. You can go to today's message, and you can take notes. And so keep your phones out today. You're going to want to take notes, because we are in a series just kind of leading up to Easter. Last week, this week, we've been leading ourselves up to Easter, because Easter is such a significant event. It is the celebration of Jesus, who not just died on the cross, but he came back to life, and his life gives us life. And so we want to celebrate that like crazy next week, but I want us to be prepared, and I want us to be leading the way up to Easter. And so that's why last week and this week, we're looking at some really significant moments in Jesus's life. Last week we talked about this dinner party that Jesus was at, and he was anointed and he was prepared for burial. Mary anointed his body with this really expensive perfume. It was this radical honor for a radical Savior. You can go back last week and go online and watch that and prepare yourself for Easter for next week. Today though, we want to just really pick up right where we left off, and I want us to go straight from the dinner that Jesus was at, and then into what that very next day looked like, because I want you to know how significant it was. Today is it's Palm Sunday. All across Christianity and churches, it's really on the religious calendar known as Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday was because 7 days before Easter, we see that Jesus had this triumphal entry. So if you're reading your Bibles and you read through the accounts of the Gospels, all of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is talking about how Jesus comes in, and they label it the triumphal entry. It's this Palm Sunday, and it's this parade-like environment where Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, And it's literally the very next day after this dinner theater. And these people are lining up on the streets and they're cheering for him. We're going to dive really deep into this story, but they're cheering for him. They take palm branches. They're waving him. And it's just this really just kind of an exuberant type of like a frame of what's going on at that very moment, 7 days before Easter on Palm Sunday. And I want us to dive into this story because I think you're going to realize when we really unpack today, that is so much more significant than we've ever given credit for. We have no idea how big of a deal it was, and I think it's worth us diving into and seeing how significant it actually is. Now, today we're going to go through the story looking through two different lenses, and that is through the lenses of Matthew and John. And Matthew tells a lot of the detail of the story. John puts in a little extra detail and some things that just really help us make sense. And so I'm again going to just read through this story, and we're going to kind of look how John says it in Matthew and John and kind of read through it chronologically. And then we're going to unpack this and talk about it. So let's take a look at this. It says, John starts with this way. The next day is literally the next day after that dinner party where Jesus was anointed in Bethany. Okay, so the next day, the news that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem swept through the city. Now, before I move on, let me tell you this. The news was good and bad. The religious elites, the Pharisees, were wanting to kill Jesus. And actually, if you read the book of John, they're wanting to kill Lazarus again. They're wanting Lazarus to die too, because there's just so much positive energy toward Jesus. And after Lazarus was raised from the dead, everyone is like, let's go see this. And now there's this huge news that Jesus is coming into the city of Jerusalem. It swept all the way through. So let's take a look at how this unfolds. Goes on and says, as Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead, and he said, go into the village over there, he said, and as soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say that the Lord needs them. And he will immediately let you take them. This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. That's just in itself a supernatural story where Jesus prepares his own transportation and says, hey, go into this little town. There's going to be a donkey. There's going to be a colt. Go in and untie them. And if anybody asks, you know, what you're needing, just say, hey, this is for the Lord. And they did it, and it was there. And that in itself, supernatural. Let's keep reading, though, and see what happens. It says, the two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him, and they threw their garments over the colt, and Jesus sat on it. Okay, so now you have Jesus sitting on this colt, and they're getting ready to go into the city of Jerusalem. It goes on, it says this, most of the crowd spread their garments. They're taking out their outer clothes. They're taking off their coats. And they spread their garments on the road ahead of them, which is so much of a royal tradition of allowing someone of royalty to come in. And then others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heavens. John says this, he goes on, he says, a large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches. Now, John's actually the only one that literally gives the detail that these are palm branches. He says they took these palm branches and they went down the road to meet him. They shouted, praise God, blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hail to the King of Israel. And there's just this parade-like environment. People are cheering him on and they're waving these palm branches and they're escorting him into the city and just this high energy. And Matthew says this, he says, the entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar. Like they were just like, what is going on here? They were in uproar as he entered. Who is this, they asked. Who is coming into town? There's this kind of a parade that's happening. And the crowds replied, it's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. And that's the story. And that's what we get from Scripture that says, and this is Palm Sunday. This is the celebration of Jesus coming in to the city. And it's really easy to read it this way. It's very easy to say it was the Sunday before Passover, and Jesus is heading into the city of Jerusalem, and he chose to ride on a very humble donkey, and people cheered him on into town, and some people were excited, and some people were upset. And the streets were lined, and we can visualize everyone's waving these palm branches, and they're celebrating Jesus and saying, praise God, and then he strolls into town, period. And then we say, that's Palm Sunday. And the church for a long time has said, that's Palm Sunday. And we've just kind of made it seem like it's all about this parade-like environment of Jesus coming into Jerusalem. And for centuries, the church has said, let's celebrate this day, and let's actually pass out some palms and celebrate, and let's just bring in the kids. It's really cute. And you'll see things that are just like little cartoons of the little kids waving palm branches. And you and I probably have done that at some point in our life when we were in a children's church or a Sunday school class or anything where we're making these little fake palm branches and or they're now plastic or they're made out of cardboard and card paper or whatever, and we're waving them and they're tied to a stick and we've created it all about like this parade environment and waving these palms. But as I've studied this, I've realized there's just so much more to the story. And if you would read it through the lenses of their culture, if you were living that day in Jerusalem, if you were one of his disciples, if you were Jewish, if you were living in that environment of that culture, of that era, right then, this story would have meant so much more than just waving some palm branches. And so today I want us to talk about the day and the donkey and the disappointment. Okay, so that way you can just remember it. What did Travis talk about this week? I think he talked about the day, the donkey, and the disappointment. You're not going to forget that. The day, the donkey, the disappointment. And I want us to talk about that. So the day in itself was absolutely fascinating. Is Jesus entered into the city on Nisan 10. Nisan is the month. 10 is the day of the month. The 10th day of Nisan. Why is that important? Because on the 10th day of Nisan, we may have celebrated now as Palm Sunday, but for over 1,000 years, the 10th day of Nisan was Lamb Selection Day for the Passover. Now, what's the Passover, you're asking? For over 1,500 years, God's people were celebrating their rescue from slavery to freedom. You see, when they were 1,500 years before this, they were slaves. And Moses, this is the story where Moses was like, let my people go. Pharaoh, Pharaoh, ho, ho, let my people go. Okay, I hope you're dancing with me in Charleston because nobody in Matt Toon's dancing right now. But anyway, so it's this letting them go. And literally God is like, I want my people freed. I want my people to experience freedom. I want them to find freedom. And they would not let them out of slavery. So then there was God's like going, listen, let my people go. And he said, we're going to send plagues as reminders that I am God and you are not. And so there's going to be 10 plagues, and first plague, second plague, third plague. The heart of Pharaoh, the leader, the evil leader, keeping them in slavery, nothing was changed. The 10th plague was horrendous. It was the killing of every firstborn son.
And then there's this going to be this death angel that was going to come over and literally take the life of every firstborn son that was living in the homes. And God says, but I'm going to rescue you guys. You're my people. And he said to the Israelites, so what you need to do is to go and take a lamb that is perfect and sacrifice the lamb, kill the lamb, take the blood of the lamb and smear it across the top of your doorpost. So when the death angel would come and see the blood of the lamb on the doorpost of your house, the death angel would pass over your house. And you guys would be saved. And that's exactly what happened. And it was just a horrendous day. And those who were not following God and part of Pharaoh's people, the firstborns, there was crying and mourning across the entire land from mothers and families because children were being killed because of this plague, because they would not let God's people go. But not the Israelites. They were saved and rescued because they selected the lamb, they put the blood over the post, and the death angel passed over it. So for 1,500 years now, they have a festival of the Passover, this huge celebration to remember the story of God saving and rescuing them out of slavery. And they had this celebration that they would gather back in Jerusalem called the Passover. And on the 10th day of Nisan, 4 days before the Passover, it was said that they were to select the perfect lamb to be killed in honor of this celebration. In fact, it says this in Exodus. It says, tell the whole community, this is Moses, tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household, take care of them until the 14th day of the month, 4 days later, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. And so Jesus, coming into town on this day that is Lamb Selection Day, is offering himself to the world as the lamb. And Jesus rides into the city in the afternoon, exactly the way when they were supposed to select the lamb. And then we know 4 days later, he himself is slaughtered. How is it that we've never heard this? How is it that we've never remembered this day as Lamb Selection Day instead of just Palm Sunday? You see, that was the parade getting him into town, but we need to know the why behind the what. The parade's exciting, but the reason for the parade is the lamb is coming to be slaughtered. And Jesus is offering himself as the perfect lamb. Now, the writers of the New Testament, they totally would have understood this. The disciples would have totally, they understand this language of the lamb. We don't, because that's not our culture. That's not what we grew up in. That's not where we're at. But listen, I just want to show you just a couple ways where Paul says this. He says, for Christ, the Passover lamb has been sacrificed. There's a couple more. Let's take a look at a few more of these. Christ was sacrificed to take away the sins of many people. The writer of Hebrews says that. John the Baptist looks at Jesus right before baptism and says, look, behold, the Lamb of God. He's going to take away the sin of the world. Goes on and says that, 1 Peter, Peter says this, you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without a blemish or spot. Goes on and think, when you read through the book of Revelations, over 20 times it refers to Jesus as the Lamb. Here's one of those verses. It says, then I saw a lamb. This is this vision that John had in Revelations. He goes, I saw a lamb looking as if he had been slain, standing in the center of the throne. The lamb slain in heaven on the throne. There is no doubt that Jesus on that day, the day, Nisan the 10th, was offering himself as the Passover lamb. And just to make sure that the people didn't miss it, he made sure that he rolled into town on that day. And it gets better. It's amazing. It gets better. 4 days. The reason it was 4 days before Passover is because they wanted to choose the perfect spotless lamb. And they had 4 days to observe this lamb before slaughter to make sure it was perfect, that nothing was wrong with it, that it didn't have any problems, issues, or anything. So there was this 4 day waiting period of, we've selected this lamb, it's a perfect lamb, we've watched it, we've looked at it, we've observed it for 4 days, and now we're going to slaughter it and it's going to be killed. And Jesus actually hung out in Jerusalem for all 4 days. In fact, he was in the temple. And he presented himself to the temple. Read through this. It's amazing. He presented himself in the temple. He taught. He interacted with people. Why? So people could observe him for 4 days before he was then killed on the cross. It gets better. It gets better. And in that culture, the best of the best of the lambs that were going to be selected to be killed for Passover's sake, for this massive celebration and holiday that only occurs one time a year. The best lamb that was spotless, you know where these lambs were raised? Bethlehem. The fields of Bethlehem is where the Passover lambs are raised. And you know where these lambs are? They're raised in Bethlehem, and then they go through the Sheep's Gate into Jerusalem. The gate called the Sheep's Gate is where all the Bethlehem Passover lambs go into Jerusalem to be killed to celebrate Passover. Where did Jesus go through? He went through the Sheep's Gate on the same day that all these Bethlehem lambs were taken in to be celebrated and to be slaughtered for the celebration of Passover. It's really Jesus' beautiful way of saying that the time is finally here. I'm coming here to give my life as a sacrifice. It's amazing. That's the day. That's the day. Now let's talk about the donkey. The donkey. Now, there is the fascinating supernatural side of, like, Jesus just saying, there's going to be a donkey in this other town, and it's going to be tied to this post, and you got to go get it. And they're like, are you kidding me, Jesus? Like, we don't have cell phones. How did we know this? Did you call this guy? I mean, did you set this up? Is this a rental donkey business? Is this, like, you know, budget rental donkey, and they're just, it's going to be waiting for you? We've already, you know, made reservations. No, it's like Jesus just knew, and he tells his disciples, and the disciples are like, okay. And so Bethphage was just another few mile walk away, and they go into this little town, and lo and behold, there's this donkey, there's this colt tied to the post, exactly how he said it. And they take them and they leave, and they said, if anybody asks, just say the Lord needs it. And it's like, well, that's crazy in itself. And that's exactly what happened. And he brings the donkey back. And then the craziest thing is that Zechariah 500 years ago prophesies that this is going to happen. That's why Matthew says, as the prophet had said, he will ride in humbly on a donkey. So 500 years ago, this prophet named Zechariah says the king will come in riding a donkey. 500 years later, Jesus rides in riding this donkey that was tied up to a post in a town 2 miles away that the disciples had to go get, and they didn't have any idea that there had already been a reservations made for the donkey. It's crazy. It's awesome. But what I want us to understand mostly about the donkey is the donkey represents peaceful entry for a person of authority. See, there's a couple ways that a king can come into a town. And it all depends on what the motivation of the king is coming into the town. If the king is going into a new land and wanting to conquer the land, he comes in on a war horse. And that is this statement of, I am here to bring great victory no matter what, and we are going to mow you over. I am on my war horse, and the army is with me, and here we come. But if a leader would come in on a donkey, and you would see the leader from far coming in, and you're like, the king is riding a donkey, then it's, the king is wanting to make peace with us. The king is not here to fight. The king is not here for war. He's not drumming up all the soldiers. He's here to make a peace offering. And Jesus selects a donkey to come into Jerusalem because he is who? The Prince of Peace. and he comes in to offer peace. Not a political peace. They were wanting political peace. He's offering a spiritual peace. It's a all is well with my soul. Their relationship with God that has been taken away and it's been separated, he's saying, I can come bring peace with you and God. The problem is that's not how they saw it. The problem is they didn't see Jesus as a spiritual peacemaker. They were hoping he would be a political king. In fact, right on the edge of town, Luke writes this, right on the edge of town, when he's getting ready to head into Jerusalem, riding on this donkey, getting ready to go in, he says this. It says, as he came closer to Jerusalem and he saw the city ahead, this is Jesus, Jesus began to weep. He was crying, tears, crying for the town, for the people. How I wish today that you, of all people, would understand the way to peace. But now it is too late, and peace is hidden from your eyes. Can you just take a moment and imagine Jesus? Probably even kind of disembarking, getting off the donkey, kind of casting across this capital city of Jerusalem. All he sees is thousands and thousands of souls. And actually at that time, it could have been millions because it was Passover. Everyone from the outskirts was heading into Jerusalem. And he sees the crowds of people traveling on foot and caravanning into Jerusalem. And he's looking across the landscape of a city that was bubbling with people because of Passover. And instead of excitement because of this celebration and this holiday, he's weeping. He's crying for the people because they don't understand the way to peace. He goes, I just wish they would understand. I am the way to peace with God. And he rides in on the donkey. Let's talk about the disappointment. The disappointment is really about the crowd. It's the parade. The parade, we get so caught up in the parade, but the crowd gets disappointed in the end. There's such disappointment. Like you don't see it in the heat of the parade. All we read about is this extremely excited crowd, and they're throwing their coats down and they're cutting down palm branches and they're waving them and they're singing and they're saying, he saves, he saves, he's come to save. And that's what Hosanna, Hosanna, he's here to save. But they were wanting a political hero. They were wanting a political savior. They were wanting a military king rolling in because there was this such oppression with the Roman government. And the Jewish people were wanting to be able to not be oppressed by the Roman government. And so Jesus was coming in to bring peace from the Romans. That's what they were wanting. And they're shouting, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of God. He's going to save us from the Romans. He's going to save us. And when he comes in, and the parade-like environment's going, everyone's thinking, we're winning, we're winning, we're winning. This is like the parade was all of the adrenaline of we're getting ready to win. Now, I've been watching some March Madness the last couple weeks, and I mean, if you're with me, did anybody watch any basketball? I know you guys watch some basketball. You watch some basketball. There was some overtime games. There's games where it was like there was people thinking, we're winning, we're winning. And then like 2 seconds left, like something crazy happens. There's a weird foul or a weird whatever, and the next thing you know, they go into overtime. And then all of a sudden, the media loves to grab the images of the heartbreak and the disappointment. A couple years ago, this year it was all over TV because it was on a commercial. But a couple years ago, this poor kid, his name's John. He was this diehard fan for Northwestern. His father, the backstory here is his dad is the athletic director at Northwestern, and he's sitting there. And as soon as there was this horrible foul call, and they're going to lose the game, he just begins to cry. No, you know, disappointed. Disappointment because there was this, we're going to win, we're going to win, we're going to win. We're not going to win. This is a lot more than basketball, guys. The crowd that gathered that day, They thought they were winning politically. They thought they were going to win military-wise, and there wasn't going to be such harsh rules. And what happened was their expectations were way up here, and then 4 days later, their king gets arrested and killed by a criminal's death. Complete disappointment. Complete disappointment. Because they weren't understanding what real victory is about. That's what we need to do today, is understand real victory. Here's my observation, guys, of Palm Sunday. My observations of people. My observation of people, and still 2,000 years later, today, the observation is still the same. Number one is this: some people will miss the point of Palm Sunday. They're going to come and think, hey, today's all about singing a song and getting excited for God. And they don't realize the gift of death. They don't understand that Jesus gave his life so we could live. Palm Sundays all across our world are going to come and go and not realize that was the day that Jesus offered himself as the Passover lamb, the sacrifice. Don't miss this gift that enables every single one of us, if we follow Jesus, to be reunited with God. Some people are going to miss the point of Palm Sunday. The second thing I believe is some people are looking for a war horse instead of a donkey. Sometimes we pray to God because we just want him to come fix our problem. Come on now. You know that sometimes that's our prayer. Lord, just fix this. Just heal this person. Just do this. Sometimes it's our relationship with God is more like a magic wand, or just we're just feeling like he's a genie, and we're just like, Lord, come in as a war horse and fix this. He's like, I'm going to ride in as a donkey and fix this, your heart. Because he wants you to say, it is well with my soul. Not just it is well with the world. Too many of us are wanting it to be well with the world, and Jesus is wanting it to be well with your soul. Too many people are looking for the war horse. Jesus comes in on the donkey. The third thing is some people will wave a branch today, yet turn on Jesus tomorrow. That crowd was yelling Hosanna one day and crucify him 4 days later. Think about that. Hosanna, crucify him. Oh gosh, I would never do that. We would never do that. Sunday, oh, God is good. I'm going to get my whole family up. I'm going to come to church. Friday, hey, let's do whatever we want to do. Late at night when no one's looking, let's do what I want to do. And I just feel like sometimes we're in that same boat. One day we're waving branches, saying Hosanna, and the next day we're rebelling, rejecting, or we just pushed God out of our life and said, you know what, these days I'm doing it on my own. Here's how I want to close today is I just believe that the Holy Spirit can talk to you right now with what you need to hear. Maybe something today you're like, I needed that today. Maybe you need to be more grateful for a sacrifice. Maybe you need to receive and accept that inner peace that God has for you. Or maybe you just need to live all week long, not just one day a week for Jesus. Wherever God has for you today, I want you to know that God's speaking to you right now. And he wants the best for you. And the reason he gave his life, and on Nisan 10, the 10th day of that month, he comes into the city to offer his life as the lamb. He did that for you. And for that, we have to be so grateful. Let's pray.